Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session today, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'll turn the call over to Karen Hunter. You may begin.
Thanks, Shirley. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for this month's Vital Signs report, which focuses on preventing teen pregnancy in the United States. Our speakers today will be Ursula Bauer, PhD, and her name is spelled URSULA, last name BAUER. She's the director of CDC's National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. And then we also have Dr. Wanda Barfield, that's WANDABARFIELD, and she is director of CDC's Division of Reproductive Health. Our speakers will make some brief opening remarks, and then we will open it up for questions. And we'll start with Dr. Bauer.
Thank you, Karen. So we're here to talk today about 400,000 teens between the ages of 15 and 19 who gave birth in 2009 and the declines in our teen birth rates. While we're making significant progress in bringing down our teen birth rates, we have much more work to do in order to bring those rates in line with most other developed countries. Teen pregnancy is a leading health concern because of the adverse health, social, and economic consequences for teen moms, for their children, and for society. Teen moms are more likely to drop out of high school, and they're less likely to ever receive a high school diploma or equivalency. They're unlikely to achieve their full income earning potential, and they're more likely to need public assistance. Teens are more likely to deliver a low birth weight baby or a preterm baby. And babies born to teen moms are more likely to die in infancy and are more likely to have a teen birth and to drop out of high school when they are teens. Although most teen births occur to whites, Hispanic and black teens are 2 to 3 times more likely to have a teen birth. Fortunately, we do know how to prevent teen pregnancy, and Dr. Barfield is going to talk to us about how we do that.
Thank you, Dr. Bauer, and now we'll turn it over to Dr. Barfield.
Thank you, Karen. Fortunately, we do know how to prevent teen pregnancy, and everyone has a role to play. Teens themselves can delay sex as long as possible and use effective contraception when they are sexually active. Parents can stay in touch with their teens and talk with them about sexual and reproductive health. Schools can provide comprehensive, age-appropriate sex education, and communities and healthcare providers can make it easier for sexually active teens to get healthcare services, including birth control. With better information, skills and access, and more communications with parents and caregivers, teens will be best able to make real decisions about their sexual and reproductive health, including delaying the onset of sexual activity. Also, the U.S. government has an important role to play as well. The President's Teen Pregnancy Initiative, managed by the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Adolescent Health, is helping teens, parents, communities, and schools, as well as healthcare providers, to do their part in preventing teen pregnancy by implementing evidence-based programs that work.
Thank you, Dr. Barfield. And Shirley, I think we can open it up for questions.
Thank you. This time we're ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And one moment for our first question. At this time, I'm showing no questions. Again, if you have a question, just press star 1. And one moment, please. One moment, please. Our first question comes from Betsy McKay with Wall Street Journal. You may ask your question.
Hi, Dr. Bauer and Dr. Barfield. I had a couple of questions. One is that the data indicate that while, you know, the rates, teen birth rates went up a bit, it looks like in 2006, you know, they've come down pretty sharply since 2007, it looks like. And so I wondered if you could talk about what has happened in that time period that, you know, maybe wasn't happening in the preceding years. And secondly, the report says that all the findings suggest that many teens do not receive formal sex education covering both abstinence and contraception. Could you talk a little bit, explain that a little bit more? What they're not getting, what ideally they should be getting in terms of sex education?
Yes, hi, thank you for the question. I'll address your second question first, in terms of teens not receiving as much education as they need. We note that both boys and girls are not receiving the amount of sexual education that they need, and that there are really two components that we're looking at in that survey that include abstinence-based education as well as sexual education on contraception. So what we've noticed is that teens are not receiving both abstinence education as well as sexual education.
Okay. Do you mean abstinence-based programs, or do you mean comprehensive sex education that would include both information about contraception and abstinence promotion?
Only 50% of teen high school students are receiving both abstinence-based education and comprehensive sexual education to include contraception.
Okay. And what we're trying to achieve here is to delay the onset of sexual activity, and for those teens who become sexually active, to make sure that they have the information about contraception that they need to avoid pregnancy, and also the information that they need to avoid sexually transmitted diseases. So we want to ensure that our teens are receiving both components, a comprehensive sex education program.
In addition, we also know that among sexually active boys and girls, only 20% of sexually active girls and 31% of sexually active boys had not talked to their parents about sex. So there really is an opportunity for parents to be involved as well.
Okay. And the first question, the data is, you know, it looks like a pretty sharp drop in the past couple of years.
Yeah, there has been a more recent drop in the past couple of years in terms of the rates that we're seeing. And it may be due to some short-term variation in the data. It's something that's very important for us to continue to follow, because again, we are actually seeing, you know, a 37% decrease over the past two decades. However, we still have a ways to go in terms of improving our teen birth rates to reflect those seen in other developed parts of the world.
Okay.
And again, we still have over 400,000 girls aged 15 to 19 who gave birth in 2009. So it's an important trend to follow to make sure that we're continuing to see these declines.
So you're not sure yet whether you're starting to see whether this is the beginning of another relatively steep drop in the teen birth rate. Are you saying that it's too early to tell yet?
It's still early to tell, but we're optimistic. And I think, again, some of the things that we can do is to continue to make sure that teens are, one, having an opportunity to delay sex as long as possible, that those that are sexually active are receiving evidence-based sex education, and that all of us have a role to play in terms of our teens, our parents, our communities, and our providers in terms of preventing teen pregnancy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Do we have additional questions?
We do have a question from Jennifer Karani with Dr. Oz Show. You may ask your question.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. I wanted to ask, I know that this statistic is measuring, it looks like live birth, and just looking at living births, I was wondering if this statistic reflects either procedures or outcomes such as miscarriage and abortion as well, or if this is just live births that you're recording.
Yes, thank you for the question. This vital signs report really does not contain information except for teen birth rates. So this really reports information about teen childbirth. Information about miscarriages are not within the report.
I see. Do you happen to know if there has been either an increase in miscarriages or abortions, or if that is a completely unrelated statistic?
Right. So the data that we have in the vital signs around teen births is for 2009. However, CDC does have a report that's called the Abortion Surveillance Report that reports data from 2007. And from what we've seen over time, there are declines in the rates of abortions for all age groups, including teens. We've also noticed that there's a decline in the number of abortions to live births, which implies a decrease in pregnancy rates overall.
I see.
Again, we don't have specific information on miscarriage rates, but overall pregnancy rates and abortion rates are declining.
Wonderful.
So thanks. What we're seeing is long-term declines in both teen birth rates and teen abortion rates, and therefore we're hopeful that teen pregnancy rates are coming down. We're also seeing declines in the percentage of high school students who are sexually active, and we're seeing increases in the use of effective contraception among those high school students who are sexually active. So all of these trends point to very positive outcomes for our teens, so we can be optimistic about the future. However, that 400,000 number is quite startling, and we need to re-energize our efforts to bring that down.
Thank you. Do we have additional questions?
We do have a question from Althea Fung from National Journal. You may ask your question.
You were saying that the education should be a combined abstinence and sexual education, but do you have any results on whether abstinence-only education is effective or sexual education is effective, like if they were done separately?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Fung, for your question. We do know that, first of all, not one size fits all in terms of the opportunities to prevent teen pregnancy, but what we do know in terms of thinking about how a program may be effective, we need to consider that it provides science-based curricula and guidance for educational services, that it gives teens referrals to health professionals trained and that are able to provide high-quality medical services, and also that it monitors the progress in obtaining objectives for service delivery, including educational content. And it should also support youth development activities, so offering services that are offering positive peer pressure and options for teens to obtain other goals.
Thank you. Next question.
Thank you again. If you have a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Heidi Sleet with Family Practice News. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I guess this is for Dr. Bauer or either of you that wants to jump in. What's the take-home message for doctors who are treating teenagers? What can they take away from these findings, and what can they be doing to help improve the situation even more?
Thanks for the question. Yes, certainly healthcare providers have a key role to play in bringing down teen birth rates and teen pregnancy rates. Certainly talking to teens, both boys and girls, about sexual health and reproductive health, and talking about available contraception is very important for healthcare providers in their encounters with teens.
Thank you. Next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jennifer Karani with Dr. Oz Show. You may ask your question.
Hi. I thought of one other question. I was seeing that we're number 9 amongst developed countries in terms of our birth rate for teens. What are the other countries doing that's so successful, the countries that are above us? Is it education, or is it a difference in the healthcare system that they have? I was just wondering if you happen to know that.
it's a combination. You know, we don't have the full story of why other countries have succeeded in reducing teen pregnancy far below our rates. But there's a combination of comprehensive sexual education in schools, a lot more conversation with parents and caregivers about sexual and reproductive health, and ready access to effective contraception, confidential access for teens who are sexually active.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have another question?
At this time, I'm showing no further questions. Again, if you have a question, press star 1.
Okay, well, that will wrap up our briefing on this month's Vital Signs report. The transcript of this telebriefing will be available on CDC's press room site later on this afternoon. The address for that is www.cdc.gov/media. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, and that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.